All right, so here we are at week four of reboots. And I hope that by the end of the service today, that you will have a clear picture of kind of where we're moving forward as a church and what it means for that first part of our vision statement to relentlessly pursue God. That's been the goal of the last 3 weeks, is to create that clarity for you. At Heritage, we will pursue God through worship. That's what last Sunday was about. Because this is how our hearts and our minds will feast on God's goodness. And at Heritage, we will devote ourselves to the reading and to the knowing of Scripture, because this experience is sweeter than anything that you've ever tasted. Even our non-Christian culture understands the value and the inspiration behind words. And we're about to enter the holiday season, and hopefully with the cooling off of the temperatures a little bit this week, and you're like, man, it's fall. Christmas is coming. And eventually we're going to be inundated and overwhelmed by the season's greetings and those Hallmark greeting cards. And they do a great job of pulling our heartstrings. Even on social media, it doesn't take long for us to scroll through our Facebook feed to be able to see some sort of image and words that are meant to inspire and to encourage us. Even though our society has become increasingly secular and even a little hostile towards Christians, they still understand the power and the value and the impact of words. They would just rather find inspiration in man's words instead of God's word. And at Heritage, we want to expose you to the greatest source of inspiration, which are the Scriptures. We want to show you that your life is incomplete without a passionate and a relentless devotion of the Scriptures to get to God. So here's our proposition this morning. And our proposition is that the experience of God through Scripture is matchless. The greeting cards, they can give us the warm fuzzies, right? A quote from our favorite singer or from our favorite writer, they can pull those heartstrings, but all words fail in comparison to what Scripture can do for us. Scripture is matchless. And as we think about our series theme of reboots and these old computers and kind of reprogramming them so they can move forward. Heritage, and we've been talking about these error messages that computers send to us. And here's error message number four. And it's that studying Scripture has become a low priority in the life of Heritage Christians. For over 200 years, people have tried to attack the value and the validity of the Bible. They've attacked the authorship of the Bible. They've attacked the truthfulness of the Bible. And they've attacked the sufficiency of the Bible. And sadly, this attitude has crept slowly into churches today. Pastors have ultimately believed the lie that the Scriptures are insufficient for them to preach on Sunday mornings. So instead, they preach on videos. They just give motivational speeches instead of dedicating themselves and a group of people to God's Word. And next time you visit a church or you listen to a sermon online, pay attention to the priority that they give to the Scriptures. Do they spend more time talking about themselves? Do they spend more time telling a story? Do they spend more time showing videos to you? Churches today have convinced themselves that the way to reach people for Jesus is through entertainment. And look at the type of Christians the church is producing today. The first sight of adversity, they run away. They go back to other places. This is the generation that the church is creating today. And is it any wonder that our young people are growing up with the expectation that pastors have to entertain? Many well-intentioned churches have slowly eroded away with the cultural lie that Scripture is insufficient. Now, these pastors will never admit that. If we could line up 10 local pastors, they'll all say, Scripture is sufficient, but listen to the actual piece by piece, moment by moment of their sermon. What do they think is valuable, their words or God's word? Many pastors today use the Scriptures as just a diving board to jump into the pool that they really want to swim in. And then we wonder why Christians fall into sin, why they're always angry, why they're judgmental, hard-hearted, and give up on one another. At Heritage, we hope to ignite this passion and a pursuit and a mutual pursuit of God together through the Scriptures. We want to show you that the culture's wrong, and that even some churches, they're wrong about God's word. Scripture is the greatest treasure that you will ever possess. And many people have given their lives. They've rather faced death so they can give you this treasure, this scripture, in a language that you can read. Focusing on God's word while we're together is the most valuable thing that we can do. And that's where we're going. That's our trajectory as a church. So today's text presents scripture as the sweetest of all experiences. So let's go ahead and let's read God's word together. So we're in Psalm 19, and we're going to read verses 7 to 14 together. So here it goes. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. And keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This text is why we say that scripture is matchless. A greeting card can't compare. Scrolling through that newsfeed on Facebook for inspiration, it cannot compare. And a pastor's words will always fail when his heartbeat is not aligned with the heartbeat of scripture. At Heritage, we must discover what role God's word is going to play in our lives moving forward. Either we are going to create this mutual pursuit of God through scripture together as a way to return to health and growth, or we can just continue doing what we've always done. Now, in college, I remember going to a conference up in Atlanta, Georgia, to a very popular mega church. We used to go every single year when I was in college. And so many churches had just ripped off and have copied this particular church's strategy and process for ministry. At the conference, I remember attending a session about communicating God's word. And I remember watching a very popular pastor and a writer. If I said the name of this pastor, you would know it. And he talked about the emphasis of communicating. And the emphasis was this: don't preach the Bible word by word. Tell stories. Engage people through stories. So he opened up his session. He had a verse. They put it on these jumbotrons in this stadium-like church environment. It's totally blown away by this. And then he talked for the next hour, telling jokes, showing videos, telling stories. And I was wowed by this guy. As a young, impressionable 20-year-old, it's like, man, this is it. This is what I want to be as a pastor. But then we went back to the hotel room. And I started thinking that night, where was God in all that? Yeah, I heard some funny stories. I heard a little bit about his life. I heard some inspirational stuff, but where was scripture? If faith comes from hearing the word of God, what word did I hear? God's voice is articulated in the scriptures. And why wouldn't this pastor want the scriptures to be proclaimed to 20,000 people sitting in his church? The scriptures are matchless. And this brings us to our first point, is that pursuing God through scripture is beneficial. We cannot miss the benefits together of what it means to actually read God's word. Too often, churches can reduce scripture to just a verse to look at in the beginning, and then that's it. They believe that exposing people to the fullness of God's word, to the fullness of the Bible, it is boring and it is irrelevant. At Heritage, our times in God's word is not meant to entertain us. That is not my job here as a pastor. It's not to entertain you. But it is meant to mold you and to fashion you to be more like Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit as we fully devote ourselves to the scriptures. It's meant to convict us. It's meant to challenge us. It's meant to encourage us in our mutual pursuit of God. So let's see how pursuing God through scripture is beneficial, because this text is loaded with benefits. So let's look at verse 7. there's a bunch of statements that are made about Scripture, and then there's a bunch of benefits that follow it. So here's the first one in verse 7. The first phrase is, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, this Hebrew word for perfect means to be complete, and sometimes it's used to mean something that's free from blemish. So you think of the girls in cosmetology and just face blemishes. They use makeup to cover up. Scripture is making a claim about itself. There is no blemish in Scripture. It's perfect. It is complete. And that is why we say that the Scriptures are inerrant. There is no error from Genesis to Revelation about God, about humanity, and about the world. Scripture is sufficient. It is enough, and it will never fail you. And this is why David can say the next phrase in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, what? Restoring the soul. This is the benefit, guys. David understood that humanity is flawed. All the psalmists did. In life groups this week, we'll be looking at Genesis 3 and the fall of humanity through Adam and Eve and through their disobedience to God's word. The fundamental human struggle is that we do not believe that God's word has any benefits. If that was the case, Adam and Eve would have listened to God's word. And that was the enemy's way to attack them and to attack us. His aim is to get us to disbelieve in God's word. But David says that Scripture, it can restore the soul. And it can only restore because it is perfect, because it is complete, because it has no blemishes. And this Hebrew word for restore, it means to turn back or to return something to someone. At the fall, our belief in God took a hit. We don't believe in the benefits of trusting in God's word, in reading God's word. A devotion to God's word can help your soul recover what was taken through Adam's fall. So let's look at the next statement about Scripture in verse 7. Then David says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Now the word sure means proven to be firm, to be reliable, to be faithful. Once again, Adam's fall ingrained in every single human being that God isn't faithful to his word. And this is a fundamental human struggle. As a result, many human beings are not faithful to their word. They're not firm with their word. They're not reliable. They're not faithful. They do not do what they say that they are going to do. But let's look at the benefit of this. Going back to verse 7. It says, making wise the simple. Now, that word simple can mean a couple things. It can mean a reference to the young. It can mean a reference to the naive or to the gullible. But let me talk to our young ones for a moment here. So young ones, listen up for a second. Do not believe it when people tell you that Scripture is boring. Don't believe it. It's a lie. It's a lie that's thousands of years old, that what God has to say and sitting here with this book is boring and it's irrelevant. It's a lie, and believe otherwise. That's my encouragement to our young ones this morning. Let's take a look at verse 8 now. There's two more statements and two more benefits. Statement 3 is this in verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right. And the word for right here in Hebrew means something that is straight or something that is level. And we've talked about this word in our Summer Psalms series. Scripture is the ruler that we can use to measure our lives against. In fact, it's the only thing that we can measure our lives against. But how can we measure ourselves against Scripture if we're not exposing ourselves to it? But let's look at the benefit of doing this. So verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. The effect, the benefit, rejoicing the heart. Where's your heart this morning? Are you struggling for joy? True, lasting joy comes from living your life in measure with what God has said through the Scriptures. And this word rejoicing, it means to brighten. How many here this morning feel as if their hearts are in darkness, that there is little joy that they can reach out and actually feel right? A pursuit of God through Scripture is a remedy to this. It may not happen instantaneously. It may not happen tomorrow, next week, next month. But straightening your life out according to the measure of the Scriptures will eventually result in joy. That's why we sang the song, Trading My Sorrows. Though sorrow may last for the night, what? Joy comes in the morning. Joy will eventually come. Let's look at the fourth statement. And this is in verse 8. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure. And the Hebrew word for pure is used elsewhere in the Old Testament to mean that something is clear. Scripture has the power to create clarity for your life. And this leads to the benefit. So the commandment of the Lord is pure. What? Enlightening the eyes. The eyes of our hearts has been darkened by our sinful nature through Adam's fall. We do not naturally desire God. That's the impact of Genesis 3. And Scripture clears the eyes of our heart so that we can see God for who He is. And Paul makes this his prayer as he writes to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 1:18. In Ephesians 1:18, he says this. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Why? So that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Scripture gives our eyes clarity so that we can see clearly. And when we do, the result is hope. That if God has chosen us and if God has called us, it's going to be okay. This word for enlightening means to illuminate. It's as if our hearts are in a dark room. So picture it. Picture yourself in a dark room right now, pitch black, maybe with some of those blackout curtains, you know? So picture that. Scripture is the light switch that just flicks the lights on, and then you can see what is in the room and see what's going on in your heart. So God's word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it restores the soul, it makes the simple wise, it returns joy to the heart, and it enlightens the eyes. But David doesn't stop there. There's even more benefits. Let's move on in the text. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean. And it's really strange that David is talking about Scripture four times in a row now. The command of the Lord is this. The judgments of the Lord is that. The law of the Lord is this. The testimony of the Lord is that. And then all of a sudden he throws in the fear of the Lord. And he says that it's clean. The word for fear here means reverence. This must be our attitude as we approach the Scriptures of reverence, of respect. And that word clean means pure. So we must approach the Scriptures with this pure reverence. Why? Because the text says that it endures forever. And this word endure means to stand. It conveys the idea of being motionless or of being immovable. Think about it this way. The words of man are fleeting. Eventually, they do not endure. A person can say one thing one day and say another thing and do another thing the next day. And that is why it is difficult for people to believe and to trust in the words of another. There are people out there that are all talk and they are no follow through. David says, fear God because his word will endure. It will stand. His word is immovable. He does what he says he is going to do. That's why you should fear God. Then we see another statement about Scripture. So he gets back to it. And then he says, the judgments of the Lord are true. And this goes right with the previous statement. The Hebrew word for true means something that is firm, that is trustworthy, that is constant, that is faithful. Once again, Scripture, God's word, is everything that our word isn't. People's words are not firm. They're not trustworthy. They are not constant. They are not faithful. Only God's word can be constantly faithful. And here's the thing. Pursuing God together through Scripture will ultimately help us to become more constant, to become more faithful to one another. And this is the goal of our pursuit. This is why we are going to do this thing of mutual pursuit of God together. As we pursue God together through the Scriptures will give us the ability to be more like Him. And now we come to the ultimate benefit and the ultimate result. You do not want to miss verse 10. Let's look at it together. Verse 10 says, they are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. He doesn't stop there. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. You cannot miss what David is saying here. Remember, David is king of all of Israel. David has gold. David has material wealth. David can experience the finest delicacies of the culture of his day. But David says that Scripture is more desirable to him than any. of that stuff. And this word desirable, it means to take pleasure in, to treasure something. And this word is all about beauty as the motive for desiring something. And this is God's word. It is more beautiful than any treasure in the world. But ultimately, is this how we view Scripture as a people? And one of the things we're going to try to reboot and fix is that all of us together as a community would be able to value God's word this way. So do we treasure God's word above gold and material things? And I would dare say, if you've noticed within our bulletin and doing this, the showing the transparency of our numbers in the bulletin, you should be able to see that our giving throughout the summer has declined and declined and declined. So the question is, do we seek God's word above gold and security? And maybe what our giving is indicating, that we desire, and when we find more security in material wealth than the security that God's word can give us. But think about David for a second. He has all this stuff. But what did it do for him when Saul was chasing his life? Did he buy people out while he was hiding in a cave? Did money do a single thing for him while people were trying to kill him? No, absolutely not. And this notion to trust in security of wealth over God, it makes no sense to David. He had all the wealth of the world, and it did nothing for him as people were pursuing his life. And then David applies the benefits of Scripture, not just to our desire for security through material wealth, but through our appetites. He says that Scripture are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Now, I can't relate too much to money, but I can relate to food, and I know a lot of you guys can as well. I love honey, and when I read this text, I get it. So last Wednesday night at Gather, we had a great time, and the theme of the meal was Brenner. And we got to eat these wonderful biscuits. And I had Tisa make me just a couple more for this illustration this morning. I want to show you how sweet Scripture is. So, Scripture is like this honey, right? So here's this biscuit. One of my favorite things to eat for Brenner is a hot biscuit and some honey. So let's just watch this together. Look at that honey, how it's just dripping all over the biscuit. And when this biscuit is warm, how it just makes it syrupy sweet. This is Scripture, guys. This is what Scripture is supposed to do for you. It is, and the thing is that no matter how sweet this honey is, Scripture, it tastes sweeter. Don't you want to taste this morning? Scripture is sweeter than this church. And this is the lie that the culture is trying to get us away from. They're trying to say, no, it's not like this. It's actually garbage. It's trash. It's waste. And it's a waste of your time. But the psalmist, it is sweeter than this. I can't wait to take a bite of this after service. For me, nothing can beat the simplicity and the sweetness of a hot biscuit with honey all over it. The experience of pursuing God through the Scriptures is sweeter and it is better and it is more satisfying than this experience right here. Which is why David writes another psalm, Psalm 119, in verse 103. And he says this. He says, "How sweet are your words to my taste?" Yes. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. David's making himself really clear right here. If you were to take this honey and eat it straight, and just take this honey, open my mouth, and just straight up just drink it, David is saying that God's word is sweeter than this. The question is, do you believe it? Or have you believed culture's lie that this is not sweet? It's actually bitter. So where are you this morning? Kids, I want to talk one more second to you. My encouragement for you as you make a Bible reading a priority. And right now, you can't do it alone. You're still growing. You're still developing. So the point is then is to ask mom, to ask dad, or even ask me to help, to join you in this process of making Bible reading a priority. I promise that if you start now, if you make this decision to make Bible reading a priority, God will do amazing things in you. You're going to look back on your life when you're my age and say, one of the sweetest experiences I can remember growing up is sitting with my Bible and with my mom or with my dad, reading it together. Do not believe the cultural lie. It's a straight up lie that the Bible is not sweet. Let's get to point two. It's that pursuing God through Scripture, it's rewarding. This happens in us when we make Scripture a priority. Look with me at verse 11. verse 11 says, "By them your servant is warned. Adam and Eve did not listen to God's word and his warning through his word. They ate from the tree of knowledge anyway." Scripture is God's warning system. This is how it rewards us. And look what happens when we listen to these warnings. The rest of the verse says, "In keeping them," what? "There is great reward." And the word for keeping is the word hedging. And we talked about this word hedge time and time again during our Summer Psalm series. Scripture is the hedge that you put around you so it can warn you when you deviate from God's word in your life. But how do you know when you get off track with God if you aren't hedged together with a group of Christians and with Scripture? And that's why I think that many churchgoers, they are completely unaware of how far they really are from God. They think they're close, but they're not devoted to the Scriptures. So how can they know when they don't make Scripture and community a priority? So let's go deeper into this. Scripture reading offers great reward. Well, what's the reward? Let's look at verse 12. David says, "Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults." This is our reward. Humans are not a good gauge for recognizing their own mistakes. Humans are not good at self-evaluation. We rarely see the cost and the impact of our words and our actions. And we have a hard time admitting when we're wrong or when we have wronged someone. We aren't good at this. That's the reward of Scripture. Scripture is good at this. Scripture is what we can use to measure our feelings, to measure our thoughts, to measure our motives, our words, and our actions against. And this is why David says to acquit him of hidden faults. We're not aware of our hidden faults. If we are aware of them, it wouldn't be hidden. There are things about us that we don't know that Scripture and being committed to a covenant community can help us with. They're exposed to the Scriptures. And this is why it is essential for us to build community here at Heritage around the Scriptures. And that's where we're going next week. We're going to unpack the next part of our vision statement and what it means to authentically cultivate relationships. Because we have some error messages with that. So we have our hidden faults, but it's not hidden from God or from others. And when these hidden faults come to light, we realize that we are not as godly or not as strong as we think we are. And this is why David asks God to acquit him. Remember, David was once called out by the prophet Nathan. We looked at that psalm that addressed it. He was so entrenched in his sin and his sin with Bathsheba, he had no idea what he was doing to people. David runs to God with his faults and says, "Acquit me, cleanse me, purify me." Let's get to another reward. Let's look at verse 13. It says, "Also, keep back your servants from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me." This word presumptuous means to be arrogant or to be prideful. Once again, David is calling us out because we are all too proud. We are all too arrogant to acknowledge our own mistakes and to acknowledge our own sins. But the result of pursuing God through Scripture is that it can keep us from that attitude of pride and that attitude of arrogance and self-righteousness. The word "keep" here actually means to spare something or to restrain it, to keep it back. David begs God that his self-righteousness would not rule over him. King David, the king of all of Israel, is asking for arrogance not to be his king, because that's his struggle. That's his hidden fault. And we see the result of David's pursuits of God through the Scriptures. We have a then statement coming up. And he says this in verse 13, "Then, after all these things, then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression." And this word for blameless, it is the very same word that we encountered in verse 7. So if you have your Bibles, go back to verse 7, where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." It is the same exact Hebrew word. And it means perfect, complete, like we talked about a moment ago. David's figured it out, and now we have to figure it out. You are affected by what you pursue. So when you go on the computer, what are you pursuing? When you're on your iPhone, what are you pursuing? Because you become what you pursue. God used the scriptures to complete David and make him clean. And David is acquitted of these great transgressions because he understood the scriptures and that it teaches that faith justifies and faith makes someone right before God. Heritage. We must get this as well. We have to join David in this. Nothing will complete us like a pursuit of God through scripture. In verse 11, David mentioned this great reward at the end of the verse. And then in verse 13, he talked about being acquitted of great transgression. This is the treasure. This is the reward in the scriptures. The great reward is freedom and mercy that's given to us by God from our great transgressions. There's hope. There's forgiveness. There's joy that is found in the scriptures. So how do we respond today? Where are we going with this? We have to get into a church environment where we can prize scripture above all things. That's where we're going with this. This means more than gold. This means more than food. That we love our times together at Gather, right? And it means more than possessions. At Heritage, we want to share life with you. We want to create this mutual pursuit of God with you through the scriptures. And this is why preaching from the pulpit will always focus on taking a text and walking us through it word by word. I'm not foolish or arrogant enough to believe that my words can do for you what scripture can do for you. And my job is just to turn the lights on the text, and that's it. Our final verse reflects the intensity and the intent behind pursuing and prizing scripture above all things. Look at what David says in verse 14. He says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." He's so exposed to God's word. He has so prized it. His intent now is that his heart and his words would be acceptable to God. We must become a people that prize God with this same kind of relentlessness. David wants his mouth. David wants his heart to please God. And that's what the word acceptable means here in Hebrew. Why? Because God is a rock and God is a redeemer. David's reference to God as rock embodies how constant and how consistent God is every single day. Remember, scripture is firm, reliable, steady. And David's reference to God as redeemer, it embodies how the scriptures point to a savior, that the scriptures point to Jesus. We have hidden faults. We presume that everything is okay and that we are exactly where we should be. But scripture clears the picture up. If we don't prize scripture as a people, if we do not seek our pleasure in God through the scriptures, then we will not be acquitted of sin. That's what David is saying here, because scriptures lead to a savior. Scripture strips us of our arrogance and our pride and our self-sufficiency. The scriptures lead us to the hope of the gospel, that there is a God-man who made a way to complete us and to be blameless, even though we are guilty. It's time, Heritage. It's time. It is time to dedicate ourselves to the scriptures. Can you taste the honey yet? Maybe it's going to be a little bit bitter at first, but I promise it is sweet. It is time to commit to one another to create this mutual pursuit of God together through the scriptures.